Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, let's see. There's lots of good news to talk about here on this Friday, especially on this Freedom Friday. Looking forward to having our friend George Blackard with us here in about 2 hours in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. I've got a good stack of Freedom Friday stuff I want to get to, including the 250th anniversary of the Bill of Rights. This was something actually I wanted to talk a little bit more about earlier this week. Probably should have talked a little bit more about this earlier in the week. Lawrence Reed, you guys know the name Lawrence Reed. He is basically the president emeritus, founder of FEE, a great organization, free enterprise organization known as FEE. He's also a board member for the Frontier Institute, headed up by Kendall Cotton here in Montana. And Lawrence Reed, man, what an incredible guy he is. But he had a couple of write-ups on his website that celebrating the 250th birthday of the Bill of Rights, of course, as we head into 2026 and the 250th birthday of the United States of America, the free republic that she is and should always be, of course. So anyway, I printed up those things. I'll probably save some of that for the Freedom Friday hour coming up later this morning, unless you guys want to jump right into it. I mean, you tell me, kind of like those great cattle auctioneers, you tell me, what do you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. The Speed Act, we've been talking about the Speed Act with our friends Henry Kriegel and Jesse Ramos from Americans for Prosperity Montana. This is a bill to make energy more affordable and, kind of some pipeline permitting reform legislation that we covered when we were on Capitol Hill doing our show. But, got through the House of Representatives yesterday. I saw a post on X by Congressman Ryan Zinke hailing passage of the Speed Act. So that's good to see. So we'll get to that good news and so much more. And big news back here on the state front. You guys remember all the infighting in the state Senate amongst, state Senate Republicans. Leadership battles, the nine taking on their elected Republican leadership. Well, a big update on that front. Here's the headline in the Billings Gazette. State DOJ charges Senator Ellsworth with criminal misconduct, seeks suspension from office. And then let's see. Here's the headline from KTVQ.com. I think it's a Jonathan Ambarian report. Montana AG's office files official misconduct charge against former Senate President Ellsworth. So there you go. That's a very big story. I do have reactions that have already been coming into my inbox from Senate President Matt Regeer, who, of course, had been sparring with former Senate President Ellsworth. And then I've got reaction from State Senator Ken Bogner as well. So we'll get to that and so much more here this morning. And then there was something else that just caught my eye. What was that that just had caught my eye? Well, so much. Oh, I know what it was. It was a message on the app from Right On John in Los Angeles. Let's start with Right On John's message from the app first. Man, you were up early this morning, Right On John. Let's start with his app message first.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover today and a few rain showers around the area, mixing with some snow in spots, mainly towards Bozeman. High temperatures otherwise for the mid-50s in Billings to the mid-40s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, a chance for a rain or snow shower early, then headed back in the lower to middle 20s. We'll see some sun Saturday, mid-30s in Bozeman to 43 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
War Secretary Pete Hegseth thanked the troops in a video message Thursday following President Trump's announcement Wednesday night that individual members of the military will soon see a Christmas bonus being called the Warrior Dividend, which is being funded by the One Big Beautiful Bill.
More than 1.45 million service members will, in the coming days, receive a one-time tax-free bonus of $1,776.
Hegseth calling the bonuses
a direct investment in the brave men and women who carry on the legacy of our armed forces every single day.
The secretary also said that the action reinforces one of the administration's goals.
This warrior dividend serves as yet another example of how the War Department is working to improve the quality of life for our military personnel and their families.
The secretary reminded troops that he and the president, quote, have your back. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is the...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I always got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, but we always want to find out what you want to talk about as well. This message came in a couple hours ago, so right on John there in Bose Angeles, up in Adam early here this morning here. Right on John, what did he have to say here this morning? He says, Trumpy, congratulations on making the right decision to lower the classification of weed, marijuana, to 3. Clothes, vehicle production, fuel, medical, farmers, and so much more will rocket in positive businesses. But then he says this, but Trumpy, make your own center and leave the Kennedy Center alone for history and the hearts of so many living right now. So right on, John, covering a couple of topics there. President Trump lowering the classification of marijuana when it comes to where it's classified in terms of drugs in the federal system. And in fact, I've got some audio that I'll share with you on that, because some of you might be wondering, wait, what did President Trump do when it comes to marijuana? Some people think that what President Trump just signed is it's kind of being misinterpreted as this all-out federal support for recreational marijuana. That's not what President Trump signed. But he did lower the classification, as Right on John talked about, which will allow increased uses for medicinal purposes and things like that. As for the Kennedy Center, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the entire Kennedy Center board has now voted to rename the Kennedy Center, which is kind of like the Performing Arts Center in Washington, D.C., to rename it to the Trump Kennedy Center. So that's what Right on John was referencing with that one. I saw Senate Republican Majority Leader John Thune out of South Dakota. He was on Special Report with Brett Baer yesterday, and Brett Baer asked him about this executive order on marijuana that President Trump had signed.
A couple of quick ones. The president signing this executive order easing restrictions on marijuana for research gets some pushback in some corners of the Republican caucus. Where are you?
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of recreational marijuana. I think it is a gateway. I think it has some really bad effects, particularly on young people in this country. I think what the president's doing here is trying to expand the possibility for medicinal use and research, and there's particular applications, I think, when it comes to our veteran population that he's trying to address. But I think that he recognizes, just like many of us do, that's where it ought to be confined. And I think just opening up the gates to marijuana use across this country, in my view, would be a huge mistake.
All right, so there you go. That was John Thune. And by the way, I did see at that signing ceremony, there was a number of folks in the Oval Office for that signing ceremony. I did see one of the folks that was in the Oval Office was a representative of the American Legion, of course, a prominent veterans organization. Since we're on talking with Senate Majority Leader John Thune here, Brett Baer also asked him about President Trump's strategy regarding Venezuela.
Where are you on this policy, and do you think we are going to go to war in Venezuela?
Well, I think that what the president and his team have mapped out is a strategy to shut down the drug trade. And these cartels, which are designated terrorist organizations, the president has authority as commander-in-chief to go after these folks. They are killing literally tens of thousands of people in this country every year. And it's high time we did something about it. The things that the president has done are having the desired effect. You're starting to see the number of these cartel, this activity. They're going to have to shift modes to get things into this country because they have, for all intents and purposes, have been shut down. And that's the desired effect. It's getting these poisonous drugs out of this country and keep them from killing literally every year tens of thousands of Americans.
You don't think this is about oil? It's about drugs.
I think it's about drugs. And obviously there's energy component in everything. in this day and age. But, you know, obviously this is a regime that is corrupt. And frankly, the best thing that people of Venezuela could do is elect themselves a new leader. And they've tried, but it's a corrupt system.
Do you think Maduro takes the golden parachute and gets out somehow?
Well, it seems to me if I were him, that would make sense. I would not want to have the president of the United States or the might of the U.S. military staring me in the face. And I think that's where he is right now.
Yeah, so I think what Senator Thune there just did a great job of doing is explaining how this is part of President Trump's broader overall strategy, protecting America and protecting Americans. And when I was watching that clip earlier this morning on the FoxNews.com/video site, it was reminding me how here's the Senate Democrats, the congressional Democrats, are throwing this faux outrage hissy fit over these strikes on these narco-terrorist boats in the Caribbean. And they care so much about these narco-terrorist drug boat captains, but they don't care about the people back here in Montana and the people on the reservations that have been targeted by the narco-terrorists. But they care so much about the narco-terrorists themselves. And really what it is they're making that a big deal because they are systematically trying to chip away at and oppose every single element of President Trump's America First safety plan, of his border security plan. And so when you see them criticizing ICE and referring to ICE as Nazis and Gestapo, that's them chipping away at his efforts to secure the streets of America. And when you see them trying to oppose his border wall efforts and other border security efforts, that's them trying to chip away at his efforts to secure the borders of this country. And then when you see them attack these strikes on the narco-terrorists, that's once again the Democrats trying to chip away at his strategy. So we can't look at these things in separate little stovepipes. We have to look at it all together. What the Democrats are doing is systematically trying to oppose every single element of President Trump's plan to keep America safe. I mean, think about that. Think about that, what they are doing to make America more dangerous.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. Saturday.
Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is House Call for Health. Less than a week until Christmas Day. Just one last weekend of possible last-minute shopping. But that can leave many with a sense of stress and anxiety, finding those perfect gifts for family and friends and more, like teachers and coworkers. It can be physically and emotionally exhausting. The Nebraska Methodist Health System has a few tips for stress-free shopping. First, set realistic expectations. It's impossible to make everyone happy, and it's not the end of the world if you don't. Set a budget and stick to it. No gift is worth inheriting debt. Maxing out a credit card can set you up for even more stress down the line. Exercise, getting your body moving, can be a very effective way to manage stress and maintain energy for some of those longer shopping trips. And finally, remember the reason for the season. Focus on family, not the gifts you think they're expecting. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Thursday morning, I'm Lane Northman. It has been quite the last few days in terms of weather. We've had cold weather, we've had snow, rain. Parts of Western Ag Network country seen severe wind up to 100 miles per hour. I think I lost a little topsoil that's already up in northern Alberta at this point. With this recent weather event on our minds, what is 2026 shaping up to be? Last week, I sat down with agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, who's based out of Colorado Springs, and he shares more on the current state of La Nina and what's to come.
We are going to be changing things in a significant way in the Pacific Ocean. So this La Nina episode has basically peaked. We'll mess around with this for probably about another month, but I'm expecting La Nina to be out of here as soon as late January. And we're going to have a real small window, I think, of neutrality there, where it's not going to be La Nina or El Nino, and then we're going into an El Nino a little bit later on this year, maybe as early as May. Even if it doesn't show up as May, I think for the heart of the summer. So I think the message is we are going to see some significant changes in the Pacific, and whenever that happens, that usually means we're going to see some significant changes and some impacts as far as weather is concerned, certently for the rest of this winter.
So what is the forecast in terms of moisture or dry conditions?
If you're in the Pacific Northwest, if you're across the Northern Rockies, there's a real good chance that we're going to continue to see good moisture, at least on the front end of 26. That's going to continue across Northern Plains, the Midwest. The West and the Southwestern High Plains, they're going to have a different story, at least early on, okay? The La Nina that's going on, it may completely shut some folks out in West Texas of getting any moisture for the month of December. And some of that pattern's going to bleed over into January, February, and perhaps even a little bit of March. So there's going to be a pretty sharp gradient, from southwest to northeast across the midsection of the country about who's getting what. And I know there's always gradient.
For my entire video podcast conversation with meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, visit westernagnetwork.com or just look up the Lancast Ag Podcast wherever you enjoy podcasts.
Want a chance at winning over $20,000 in cash and prizes and proving your cattle are the best in Montana? Well, the Montana Stock Growers Foundation is now accepting donations for this year's Cattle Drive program. And the champion steer takes home an equipment package worth over $17,000. Plus, Montana Breed Associations are chipping in with cash prizes for top-performing genetics. Not to mention, donors receive valuable carcass data and a charitable tax deduction. Contact the Montana Stock Growers Foundation today to join this year's Cattle Drive program.
Hello, everybody. This is Ty Thompson, the public auctioneer here in Billings. Our annual Northland Stock Cow and Bred Heifer Sale coming up here this Friday on the 19th. We've expanded it to 2 days. There will be over 5,600 head of bred females. Go to publicauctioneers.com, see all the detailed consignments. You can view, bid, and buy at cattleusa.com. But that's the annual Northland Stock Cow and Bred Heifer Sale. Over 5,600 bred females, December 19th and 20th at Pays in Billings, Montana.
America's sheep producers say they're facing mounting pressure from imported lamb that's threatening their long-term viability. The American Sheep Industry Association is urging immediate federal action to resolve this and pushing for a Section 201 trade investigation to restore fair competition. ASI is asking sheep producers and industry stakeholders to contact their U.S. senators and urge them to sign a Dear Colleague letter supporting the investigation. Now, signatures are needed by Friday, December 19th. On the Hill, the effort is being spearheaded by Congressman Doug LaMalfa of California. More information can be found at sheepusa.org. I'm Lee Northland, Western Ag Network.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so many things we could talk about, but let's get to this big Montana story here, especially it's just been a big a source of so many things that you guys have been talking about, that we have been talking about ever since, well, pretty much going back a year ago when they had the leadership elections in the Senate Republican caucus. So here we go, though. This is the news today. This is from the Montana Television Network. This is from Jonathan Ambarian's report. Former Montana Senate President Jason Ellsworth out of Hamilton will face a criminal charge for official misconduct in connection with the controversy over state contracts that upended the Montana legislature's 2025 session. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson's office announced Thursday that prosecutors had filed a single misdemeanor charge against Ellsworth in state district court in Helena. The prosecutors also asked the court to suspend Ellsworth from office pending a resolution of the case. State law says a judge may suspend an official without pay when they are charged with official misconduct. Now, the Lee newspapers, Billings Gazette, for example, has this report. Official misconduct carries a fine of up to $500 and possible imprisonment in county jail for up to 6 months. If convicted, Ellsworth may be required by a judge to permanently forfeit his office as a public servant, the press release explained. Ellsworth and his attorney, Joan Mell, did not immediately respond to multiple requests for comment Thursday afternoon. This is from the Lee newspaper's report. Senate Republican leadership reported the matter to the legislative auditor, who later determined that Ellsworth had abused his position in office by attempting to force staff to accept two different contracts for the reported work. Ellsworth has long denied that he bifurcated the contract to keep it out of view. Ellsworth told the Montana State News Bureau in an interview outside the Senate chamber back in January that he split the contracts in two because it's what he thought he had to do. Anyway, Montana Senate President Matt Regeer on Thursday applauding the Attorney General's office for filing the charge, vindicating the legislature, the legislators, which included Republicans and Democrats, who, quote, stood up against corruption and voted to expel Ellsworth from office. Still, Regeer said in a phone interview on Wednesday that Ellsworth needs to have his day in court. Asked about state prosecutors' request that a district court judge suspend Ellsworth during the term of the criminal case, Regeer said, quote, that seems very logical to me. Ellsworth filed a $5 million defamation claim in March, and Montana's Tort Defense Office later denied it. So that's the gist of the news story there. That's the big part of that news story. I do have here in my stack of stuff, I finally got my printer up and running. All of a sudden, my printer just decided to not print for me yesterday in the middle of the show, so I've got a whole stack of stuff rolling now. But I've got the full comment in response by Senate President Matt Regeer, and then also one from Senator Bogner I'll get to here in 60 seconds right after this Fox News update. All right, here we go. Yeah, I've got both statements now in front of me here. By the way, good news, very interesting update about how it was a homeless man who helped track down that killer suspect in not only that case, but also in the MIT assassination case as well. All right, back to this story regarding the Montana legislature and charges against former Senate President Jason Ellsworth. Remember, big picture here, folks. When you had the Republican caucus vote on their leadership in the state Senate, the majority vote went to make Matt Regeer the Senate president. Well, there was a handful of the Senate of the Republican senators that didn't like that, and they wanted Jason Ellsworth to be the Senate president again. And then you remember that fight drug on all the way through the legislative session, and then you had a handful of Republicans repeatedly teaming up with Democrats on key legislation and key votes. And it went back to that whole leadership battle, that vote for leadership. And so anyway, that's why this is such a big story here, is because now that the charges have apparently officially been filed here, it puts all this back front and center, and then also raises the question, it's like, guys, why were you fighting over this for so long? You have your vote in your caucus to elect your leadership. You're not always going to vote the same on every issue, but you at least got to work together as a party. Anyway, here is Senate President Matt Regeer. He says, quote, I am once again grateful to the bipartisan majority of the Senate who voted to uphold the integrity of the legislature and remove Jason Ellsworth from office, even though we fell short of the two-thirds threshold needed to remove him. The only reason Ellsworth is still a state senator is because most Democrats and nine Republicans, and then he names a couple of them, Senator Shelley Vance out of Belgrade, Senator Wendy McCamey out of Cascade, Great Falls, voted three different times to keep him in office instead of removing him for his years-long pattern of unethical and potentially criminal activity. I applaud Attorney General Austin Knutson for taking corruption in government seriously. That was the full statement that I just read to you there by Senate President Matt Regeer. Here is State Senator Ken Bogner out of Miles City, who is in a leadership position as well. Senate President Matt Regeer saved taxpayers from illegal activity by initiating the legislative audit that the nonpartisan auditor referred to the Department of Justice. President Regeer was also the one who kept Senator Ellsworth from facing even worse charges by stopping payment of the invoices to Ellsworth's friend and shutting the whole scheme down. Ellsworth should have been thanking Regeer instead of spending the whole legislative session retaliating against the Senate president as well as other senators and staff. That is from State Senator Ken Bogner. So, all right, there you go. Your reactions, or if you got something else you want to talk about, you can give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Plus, as we head into the break, we'll have the Montana State News Network update with our friend Dennis Bragg, and I will check the messages on the app. See, we got a couple new ones in.
Table. Every dollar counts.
And help. Heard about this new Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission here in Montana, focused on our judges, focused on our courts. This is going to be very interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, we've got the chairman of that very commission, former State Senator Keith Regeer out of the Flathead Valley. He's going to be with us for Friday's Montana Talks. Plus, we'll have some last-minute Made in Montana gift ideas for you as well. Montana Talks right here.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. We opened up the show, actually, with a message on the app that came in from Right on John in Bos Angeles. And Right on John was talking about a couple of things. And it was a message that came in before the show. He was talking about President Trump lowering the classification, basically easing some of the regulations on the federal laws on marijuana to allow for more medicinal studies, things like that. Right on John was thought that was right on. But Right on John did not like the Kennedy Center board renaming the Kennedy Center to the Trump Kennedy Center. So Right on John was like, get your own center, leave the Kennedy Center alone, was basically his response. Evan and Belt, he's opposite on both of those. He says, I am not a big fan of the weed reclassification, veteran or otherwise, just because in my opinion, it will be manipulated by bad actors. As for the Kennedy Center, go Trump. That's from Evan and Belt. Evan, thanks for that message. Tim in Savage, listening in on that ag report. Yeah, I was as well. Tim says, I was listening to the ag report and the discussion of El Nino and La Nina. This must be very insulting to the trans community. You know what? That's a very good point. The transgender community. I mean, you can't do a farm and ranch report. You can't be talking about steers and bulls and heifers. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's too much gender-specific language in these farm and ranch reports. And, Tim, you're exactly right. You can't even do the weather report without offending the LGBTQ, RSTLNE transgender community either. I mean, El Nino, there you go, using the male pronouns. La Nina, using the female pronoun versions. I mean, shouldn't it be El Ninex and La Ninex? Aren't you supposed to put an X on that, according to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? You know, because you can't say Latino or Latina. You have to say Latinx or Latinx or whatever the heck they say. It is. Speaking of that, I wasn't even going to get to this one, but I sent it along just for fun to David Noble and to Finley Warden. But let me get to it because it ties in with the pronoun message there from Tim and Savage. So Sam Faddis, former CIA operations officer, he's got AND magazine, expert analysis and commentary. We've had him on the show here several times. This is a headline in his latest newsletter on Substack. Infiltration. The NEA wants to destroy America. He's talking about the National Education Association, you know, these left-wing loons on the NEA. They recently held what is called a Focus Academy event. And some of the materials that were presented to attendees, this is why I sent it on to David Noble, because, you know, for our woke updates of the week, he always has some hilarious stories about whatever pronouns the left thinks you should be using now. And then you remember young Finley Warden last year, and then And then this year, he went undercover at the Montana, you know, Teachers Union conference where put on by MFPE, where they were pushing all this radical left-wing nonsense like the NEA does, and showed some of the craziness that they were talking about there. Well, you've got to see. They had apparently they everybody who went to this Focus Academy put on by the NEA. Let's see. Much of what was presented at the Focus Academy event concerned the goal of pushing transgender ideology. Teachers were trained in how to create something called a transition plan for students. They were repeatedly admonished, never try to talk someone out of transitioning or to question a child's decision to transition. In fact, they were taught that it was their duty to facilitate students' transitioning. And, of course, they were instructed on the nuances of neo-pronouns and zeo-pronouns. What are neo-pronouns and zeo-pronouns, you may ask? Well, here is a partial list. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. She, shem, sure, shem, shelf. I feel like I'm like Stacy with the bad braces back in the 1980s. You know, now the braces are so great. You don't have to talk like you're coming up with your bad pronouns like she, shem, shares, and shem, shelf. That was with an X. Then there's shy, sure, shire, shire self. It's with an X again. He, her, hers, herself, and it's with an I instead of like H-E. It's like high, higher, high. There's something with a Z. There's an E-Y. There's a knee, nem, nems, nem self. There's fay, fair, fairs, fair self. Thon, thon, thon self. What is that? If you identify as Thor, you're a thon. These people are absolutely freaking nuts. Absolutely freaking nuts. See, Tim, now you got me talking about a whole nother topic altogether, but that's all right because that ties into something I was thinking about getting to anyway. You know, AOC, speaking of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, some left-wing outfit is now floating a poll claiming that AOC is leading Vice President J.D. Vance in a poll if the two of them went head-to-head for president in 2028. The five, Dana Perino, Greg Gutfeld, I think Brian Kilmeade was on with him yesterday as well. They were talking about this, but they were also talking about this radical transgender agenda. And the Democrats still can't help themselves. You know, they said that they were going to move on from their crazy woke stuff that cost them the elections last year in 2024. But they just can't help themselves. In fact, there was just a big vote in Congress on Capitol Hill to protect kids from these radical transgender surgeries where they chop body parts off of kids. And all but like four or five Democrats voted against protecting kids from this radical transgender agenda.
Are told often that broke, it's gone, we beat it, it's over. As long as this is going on, woke is still alive. There's still a bunch of sick, craven cowards who are politicians, and they put their fear of activists before the concerns of kids. They need to be shamed for this. I mean, 200 of them? Does anybody ask them why?
Can I say something about that? Because
no,
I mentioned that the autopsy that the Democrats were going to do would have shown them that one of the issues where they lost the most, maybe a 97-3 issue, or we'll call it an 80-20 issue to be fair.
It's the sunk cost.
They don't want to know about it, so they want to continue to vote that way and not have to look backwards.
Yeah.
It is one of the reasons that they lost.
It's fear, and it's the sunk cost fallacy that they put all their eggs into this horrible basket, and they can't admit they went down a really, really dark, bad path, and they got to pay for it.
And I'm sure AOC was one of those 200.
One of the 200 that vote for it. I wrote down the names of ones who didn't. Cuellar, Vicente Gonzalez, Don Davis, with the Dems that voted to not do that, voted with Republicans on the.
All right. Anyway, yeah. So there you go. But then they get into talking about how AOC is still all about this radical transgender agenda, and yet she thinks she could be president in 2028. And I think she partly in jest was touting this left wing poll, claiming that she is leading J.D. Vance in a prospective matchup. But either way, I'll cut that clip short because I'm looking at the clock here and we got some other important news to get to here. I mentioned the Speed Act. We've talked a lot about the Speed Act back on Capitol Hill. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and House Natural Resources Committee Chairman Bruce Westerman published an op-ed in the Washington Times highlighting the importance of the SPEED Act legislation that will simplify and streamline America's overly burdensome permitting process. Well, the SPEED Act just got across the finish line in the House of Representatives yesterday, cleared the full House. Congressman Ryan Zinke saying this on X, "I voted yes on the bipartisan SPEED Act to fix a broken permitting process that's holding America back. We can protect our environment and build the roads, energy projects, and water infrastructure our country and especially our rural communities desperately need." So he was touting that vote to get the SPEED Act across the finish line. I should have gotten this to this story yesterday, but our friend Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana, he actually has his own guest opinion column that got published in the New York Post. Hard work built America, so get the government out of its way. And Jesse talks about growing up in Libby, Montana, a timber town where work meant not just a paycheck, but identity. Our high school mascot was the logger. When the football team scored, the sound of chainsaws roared from the bleachers. It wasn't noise. It meant respect. That was how the Valley saluted the millwrights, the welders, and the loggers who built the American West with sweat and skill. But anyway, he talks about the importance of the SPEED Act and how important it is to get America back up and running again. He talked about his work with Mike Rowe and the Mike Rowe Works Foundation. So anyway, great piece in the New York Post if you didn't see it earlier this week. Maybe I'll get to some more highlights from that here later in the morning. It is Friday, Freedom Friday, the Friday before Christmas. We've got Jeff Laslaffy with the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. We should have it, I think. If we do, it'll be coming up right after this. Stand by.
Now, here's the morning Sean Hannity update.
And when I give you numbers and statistics, you've got to pay attention to this. All of this could have been prevented. I have been on these airwaves and I've been on TV regularly warning people that what Biden, Harris, and Mayorkas have done to this country has put every American at risk. They have allowed into our country known terrorists, known murderers, rapists, other violent criminals, cartel members, gang members, drug dealers, and it's a matter of when, not if, there's going to be tragedies. This is one of them. And then when we look very specifically at the case of the vetting in terms of allowing these Afghan nationals.
Join Sean later today right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, as a consumer, you carry the success or the failure of businesses in the palm of your hand. Now, their success depends on your decision to spend money with them or with their competitor. Well, my friends at Pure Talk, they would like to say thank you from the bottom of their hearts for choosing Pure Talk for your wireless needs like I do. And because of you, they had a record-breaking year. And because of your generosity through their Roundup for Charity program, they have now been able to donate over $500,000 to America's Warrior Partnership that stands on the front lines in helping to prevent veteran suicide. And your patronage has allowed Pure Talk to donate 1,000 hand-sewn, made-in-America flags for your fellow veterans. And when you choose Pure Talk as your wireless provider, you choose to support American jobs. And with the money that the big wireless guys throw around on advertising, you are inundated with offers everywhere you look. So for everyone in the Pure Talk family, thank you for your trust, and God bless America.
Okay. Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover today and a few rain showers around the area, mixing with some snow in spots, mainly towards Bozeman. High temperatures otherwise for the mid-50s in Billings to the mid-40s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, a chance for a rain or snow shower early, then headed back in the lower to middle 20s. We'll see some sun Saturday, mid-30s in Bozeman to 43 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The Cross near Big Fork, Montana is an inspirational landmark smack dab in the middle of God's country in the Flathead Valley. The high winds still whipping through the valley knocked down that cross on Wednesday. But yeah, high winds wreaking havoc across Montana. Did you see this video out of the Bitterroot Valley of those trees just crack, 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 just falling like dominoes? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got those stories and more. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
What is it about the end of one year and the beginning of the next that causes us to stop, reflect, and reminisce? Recently, on the Family Matters podcast, and then again during a staff meeting, we talked about the Montana Family Foundation, where we've come from, and with God's help, what we've accomplished in our short 25-year history. It began in the year 2000 when four people, three men and one woman, approached Focus on the Family and asked to become part of their fledgling Family Policy Council movement. The association process took 2 years, but finally, the Montana Family Foundation was born. Their first executive director lasted all of 4 months. Nonprofit startups are hard. At the same time, I was serving as the Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, and I announced that I would not be seeking re-election. It was time to go home and be dad. We were living on our small farm along the Clarks Fork River, where we still live today, raising and homeschooling five children, and life was good. Then came that day in the fall of 2003 when I got a call from Terry Screener, the board chairman of the Montana Family Foundation and former CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield. He said they were looking for a president and CEO for a small startup focused on family policy. After some back and forth, I agreed to take the job on one condition. We would not uproot our family and move to Helena. When I took over in November of 2003, we didn't even have letterhead. To save money, we worked out of a spare mobile home on our farm. It was just me and my assistant, Vicky. It took a while to get the mouse problem under control, and in the spring, my wife brooded 100 chicks in the bathtub. Vicky put up with a lot, but we had a vision. Those were the days I spent driving back and forth across the state, introducing the organization to pastors and potential partners. One of the best pieces of advice I received early on came from Dr. James Dobson, who reminded me that you cannot change the world if you can't pay the light bill. Our first big project began just 2 months after I was hired. We filed a constitutional amendment to define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. It passed with 67% of the vote in 2004 and catapulted the Family Foundation to the forefront of social conservative public policy. In 2005, we caught our stride. We moved off the farm and into a nice set of offices in Laurel. We began to hire staff and took on bigger and bigger issues. In the next big battle, we went toe-to-toe with the teachers union to bring school choice to Montana. It involved 6 years of legislation and 3 years of litigation, culminating with a huge win at the U.S. Supreme Court. Not only did we legalize school choice in Montana, but we nullified religiously discriminatory language in 38 state constitutions in the process. Over the years, we've remained true to the vision of our founders. We legislate, litigate, educate, and conduct research, all in an effort to strengthen and protect families and religious liberty. We have offices in Helena and Laurel, and we're now engaged in our most aggressive project to date. We're building the Montana Center for Christian Policy, just 3 blocks from the Capitol. This will be Montana's first vertically integrated hub, housing conservative attorneys, advocates of social conservative public policy, and a Christian nonprofit business incubator, all working together to promote and defend Montana's families and churches. To see the building and the plans, or to make a tax-deductible gift to help with the construction, please go to montanafamily.org and click on the building project link. This is the next logical step as we position ourselves for the next 25 years of service. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszlofsky for that great update. And, Jeff, Merry Christmas to you and yours and the whole crew there at the Montana Family Foundation. Hey, we got a great 7 o'clock hour of the show coming up for you. I think we've got Becky Hillier joining us on Freedom Friday. Look at the bright side. And we always have fun. You never know what we're going to talk about. We don't even know what we're going to talk about. Always ends up being a ton of fun, though. And then another big guest at 7:40. Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. We're going to talk about that big drug bust in St. Regis that also landed 41 deportation arrests as well.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.